Well, good morning, everybody. In my chapel in the rectory, I have on the table right next to my chair is a stack of post-it notes and a pen. And as I pray, sometimes I might be in the middle of a rosary, or sometimes I might be in the middle of praying the liturgy of the hours, or just kind of sitting in silence, I get ideas, and they come into my brain, into my heart, and I write them down, lest I forget about them. And then on the other side of the holy hour, is my goal is not to lose that paper and to do what my orders that I received in my time with God were. And I got a beautiful image the Lord gave me in prayer the other day as I was in front of Jesus in our chapel right here. And I was praying with this gospel today, and I thought, how many times our Lord Jesus, he likens himself to a man who sows seeds. And it dawns on me that Jesus, in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Eucharist, in all of the adoration chapels in the world, in all the tabernacles of the world, Jesus, who is still alive in the Blessed Sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, he is throwing out seeds, like left and right, on the souls of everybody who comes in front of him. Everybody who does a holy hour, everybody who prays in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus is there in the Blessed Sacrament throwing out all of these seeds. Remember how many parables there are of this, and we just heard two of them in our gospel today. But remember the other one where Jesus says it's kind of like, you know, like he just throws seeds everywhere so generously. Like it didn't matter if he was throwing the seeds on the thorny bush or on the pavement or on the nice rich soil or all these. He's so rich in love and so generous in giving himself away that he just throws all these seeds out, hoping that at least some of them will take root and produce something useful and beautiful and wonderful for the glory of God. And this is what happens when we pray holy hours in our chapel and in chapels like it around the world. Pope St. John Paul II in 1993 in June at a Eucharistic Congress that was taking place, he said, I pray, this is my fervent prayer, that every Catholic parish in the world would have perpetual adoration. And what we're here to celebrate in a few days is the fact that we here at this beautiful corner of God's kingdom at St. Joe have done our part to answer a saint's prayer, St. John Paul II's prayer. And our fifth anniversary of our Perpetual Adoration Chapel is going to be a week from today. On the remember, it was June 23rd of 2019. We had Corpus Christi Mass, and the Archbishop joined us as we had our procession after Mass, and then he blessed our chapel, which, by the way, in that beautiful little building over there, that's the chapel that the nuns used to pray in when that was a convent. And so, but I remember Archbishop was there and he blessed that chapel 5 years ago. Next week in the bulletin, you'll be all sorts of statistics about our chapel, but I can tell you that we've had over 70,000 signed in holy hours. And just think of all of the graces that have come to our souls because of our chapel. There was a couple that got engaged in our chapel. Antonio, our seminarian, said that if it hadn't been for our chapel and praying in front of Jesus, he probably wouldn't have gone to the seminary. Remember Cheryl Bergen, who discovered her vocation as to be a bride of Christ in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in our chapel. Think of how many seeds have been thrown into the hearts and souls and minds of people, of us, all of us, and our parishioners in the last 5 years. It is truly like mind and heart blowing to consider how good is God and to consider it all. The word adoration comes from two Latin words, ad oratio. Ad means like towards. Oratio is, you might think of like the word orator or oration. It's like speech, words, but also like the person doing it. And what Pope Benedict XVI said was that when we have perpetual adoration, we are going towards the very mouth of God, who is breathing out His Word, and He is the Word made flesh. He is breathing out all of these seeds and all of this into the hearts of those who kneel before Him. It's awesome, because this is, and Pope Benedict said, it's kind of like this mouth-to-mouth thing where we're being resuscitated in our holy hours, where our souls, which get worn out, we go to Jesus. And so many people say, Father, my best hour of the week is my holy hour, because it's where I get to be recollected in God. It's where I get to have a moment of peace. I just had my nephews for a week. My favorite part of those days was my holy hour. And I had to wake up so early before they wake up, because they stay up late. They inherited the Kuchar gene of not sleeping. But anyway, it's so like beautiful. And to have these adoration, to have time just with the heart and the mind and the love of God, who is throwing out all of these seeds so beautifully, so beautifully. St. Francis of Assisi used to weep in front of the Blessed Sacrament in his daily holy hour. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, St. Mother Teresa, would do holy hours every day. We remember these two saints as all they did for the poor, and rightly so, they did so many things. But they always would say it was because we were with Jesus, and they received the seeds of the Lord and the energy and love of God, and then they were able to go out and not do their own ideas, but the ideas and the things, the what they received in adoration from the very mouth and the heart of Jesus. They were able to go out. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Maximilian, he said, Eucharistic adoration is the greatest power in the universe, because it is capable of transforming us and changing the face of the world one soul at a time. Because we spend time with God, we become more like Him. We receive, we absorb the rays of His divinity, and then we absorb divinity, and we become more like Jesus, and we receive our orders, and then we go out, and we change the face of the world. But it's not us doing it, it's Him. We're not just doing, if we just did our own thing, we bypassed the Jesus part, then we're just a bunch of do-gooders, trying to do our own nice things. Look how great we are. That's not so for the one who believes in Eucharistic adoration, the one who believes in the power of the Eucharist. We go to Jesus. In the Blessed Sacrament, John chapter 6, we go to Jesus and we receive our orders. We receive the very fuel that we need to do the Father's business on earth. And this is something very beautiful. Listen to this. I was reading this article here. And it's about this church in Paris. I went to visit France some years ago. Father Aaron, remember him? He loves France. He's been to this place many times. They've had Eucharistic adoration in this Church of the Sacred Heart since August 1st of 1885, and they've not taken a single hour off. It's a group of Benedictine sisters, but the public can go in there as well. And this is at the highest point of the city of Paris, is the Church of the Sacred Heart. And then there's this humongous altar, and in the altar is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. At the very highest point in the whole city, there is Jesus. They didn't take off for COVID. They didn't take off for World War I or World War II. And even when the bombing happened in 1944, they kept adoring Jesus. And even when the places were shaking and all of those things were happening, there they were, adoring our Lord and letting our Lord convict them and give them their orders. And this is the most beautiful thing. People say, Father, what is your vision for the parish? My vision is that everyone love Jesus. That everyone love Jesus and that everyone do the business of the Lord. And how can we do it without adoration? How can we do it without adoration? I know I'm preaching to the choir. Most of you have hours in the chapel, but if you don't, I'm here to beg you to get one. I'm here to beg you to get an hour. And you may say, well, Father, all the hours are taken. Yeah, but we should have two people in every hour. And a lot of our hours have only one person. It doesn't matter what hour you want. Maybe you want Tuesday at 5 a.m. Maybe you want Wednesday at 9 p.m. Maybe you want, if we don't have a registered hour, we just don't do it. And it doesn't happen. And it's important. My prayer is that every parishioner of all ages, Jesus said, let the children come to me. Bring the children. I brought my nephews in front of our Lord several times, and it was amazing how beautiful it was. But bring them, even babies, to spend time with Jesus? Holy smokes, that's a game changer. Bring your high school kids. Bring your college kids. Bring everybody. Bring your non-believing, non-Catholic friends. Bring everybody to Jesus, and then let him do the rest. Let him do the rest. Every year, they do a survey of all the new priests, and you know what were the different things that led to their vocation. 90-something percent of them said they were convicted in front of the Eucharist, and that if it wasn't for that, they probably wouldn't have gone to the seminary. And so this is just like, it's so powerful to be with our blessed Lord. And I can't wait to next week to celebrate our 5th anniversary, but we can start now. Next week we'll have some things in the bulletin. We'll also have a way to sign up for an hour if you don't have one already. And again, it doesn't matter if there's somebody else in the chapel at that time. It's good to have two or three or four or five in there at the same time. There's power in that. Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. We thank him for the gift of Eucharistic adoration, the gift of our Perpetual Adoration Chapel. And we pray that Eucharistic adoration will continue everywhere in the church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.